So just one more word of introduction. So I'm not a spiritual person. So this message that you're about to hear is from a secular viewpoint, basically. Today we're going to talk about the most influential person that has ever lived, according to many, Jesus of Nazareth. More books have been written about him than any other person that's ever lived, some 50,000 in total. A large part of the world's population pray to him and worship him as God. The first gospel written, the first book that describes Jesus in detail is the book of Mark. And that book says, that Jesus was the son of Mary. He was the son of a woman. This is problematic because it implies that his father was unknown. In those days, if your father was unknown, you would be considered a mamzer.
Here we have the rejected people of the society of that day. Mamzers, Samaritans, prostitutes, thieves, tax collectors. Represented by a thorn.
I hope you could hear that. The penalty for being a mamzer was that you could not enter the temple where the Jews could go to get close to God. You were not good enough. You had stigma on you. You were also not allowed to marry a Jew. The Torah was very strict on this. No Jew can marry any Gentile or mamzer. And so Jesus most likely, because no one was claiming to be his father, was ostracized. Most likely felt the rejection and ostracization of not being good enough. He couldn't enter the temple and get close to God like other Jews could do. He would have had felt this pain, this thorn of rejection, a thorn of exclusion, a thorn of not being good enough, of being bad. All he needed to be saved from this misery would be for some Jewish man to come forward and say, "Jesus, you are my son." It wasn't to be, however. One day he heard about this man, John, who was preaching in the wilderness and baptizing people. John was saying, "Repent, change your ways, because the kingdom of God was coming, it is at hand." Not all the Jews at that time believed in a coming kingdom of God, but those that did believed it was the time in the future when God would come down from heaven and rule in Jerusalem with a man, a king called the Messiah. This Messiah, this man, would rule with God over the people of Israel. God would raise all the dead back to life. The wicked people would be shown their sin and punished and destroyed forever. The righteous would be rewarded. They, along with all those righteous who were alive at the time, would live in the glorious kingdom for thousands of years with God, with the Messiah, and other righteous people. That is why it was so important for the people to repent, so that they wouldn't miss out on the coming kingdom. There would be feasts, the parties I talked about, right? There would be feasts and parties, large spreads of food on long tables, wine would flow. There would be no more sin and no more sickness. Sin and sickness were linked. If you sinned, they believed you were punished with sickness. And if you were sick, then you must have sinned. Both sin and sickness would be done away with in this new coming kingdom of God. Swords would be beaten into plows. Nations would not study war, would study war no more. The lion would lie down with the lamb, and the lamb would survive the experience. So Jesus went to hear John. He has ostensibly repented of his sins, got baptized, and when he was coming out of the water, he saw a vision. The heavens opened up before him. The Holy Spirit, like a dove, came and landed on him, and he heard a voice from heaven saying, "You are my beloved son. This day I have begotten you." Those words that Jesus had wanted to hear all his life, he finally heard at his baptism. From God himself, God was his father. Let's take a look at the diagram.
So you got the people rejected by society. Susan, can I use the, is the portable mic set up or no? Yeah. If it's not, that's okay. Yeah. I'll just yell.
Just one.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Here you go.
Thank you. We got this. This will
beautiful. Thank you. This will work. Thank you. Awesome. I have to thank Ben Birch for the idea for the sermon, which also gave us the idea for the title. And he did. Oh, he also picked that one song, "Jesus the Radical Jew." Thank you, Ben. All right. So you got the rejected people of society: Mamsers, Samaritans, prostitutes, thieves, tax collectors, the thorn that represents all of them. Right? Jesus one day gets baptized. He sees a vision, and now he sees this flower. He sees the flower on the. His life isn't just a thorn. It isn't, you know, he has value. He sees this flower. You can look on your order of service. You will see a beautiful flower there and a little bit of thorns, right? But the beautiful flowers on your order of service. Jesus began to see the rose with the thorn. You will see on the order of service, you will see both the beautiful rose, the symbol of love, and the small thorns, a reminder of his past. His life before this was like a thorn. He was a mamser, a person rejected by society. He began to see that he was accepted. From that acceptance, he was able to see others and how they also were accepted. Repentance and forgiveness and this welcoming into the coming kingdom of God was for everyone. That included the hated Samaritans, the prostitutes, the tax collectors. What the world called thorns, he called roses. Just south of Galilee lay the country of Samaria. The Samaritans were relatives of the Jews, but they didn't believe the correct doctrines, according to the Jews, and there was violence if the Jews tried to walk through their country. So often the Jews would walk all the way around it. So if you lived in Galilee, you wanted to visit the temple, which you're supposed to do every year, you have to walk south through Samaria, or you got to walk all the way around it. It's a 60-mile trip if you went straight. Jesus learned that these bad people were accepted. They were roses. Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan to teach his disciples the importance of the value of everyone. A man is robbed. This is the story of the Good Samaritan. You already know it. A man is robbed, beaten, and left to die on the side of a country road. The priest and the Levite pass him by and don't do anything. A Samaritan sees him, bandages his wounds, and takes him to an inn and hires the innkeeper to take care of him until he can come back and check on him. Who's the hero of the story? The hated Samaritan. Prostitutes were called sinners. Could you imagine that? Your profession, you're just called as the professional person. The sinners, right? That's what they were called. They were not accepted into society, just like Jesus himself and just like the Samaritans. Jesus didn't treat them like sinners, though. He had parties with them. He was accused of partying with them. Tax collectors were probably the most hated group of that society. They were Jews that were collecting taxes for the Romans and thus helping the Romans in the subjugation of their country. Jesus saw them as roses, not as thorns. He partied with them also. The three most hated groups were loved by Jesus, accepted by him. He believed God accepted them into the kingdom. This radical teaching came to Jesus because of his baptism and vision. This was a great love experience for Jesus. From this experience, one can easily imagine Jesus learned of the great love God had for himself and for others. Take a look at the diagram real quick. Radical teaching. Jesus gets baptized, has this message of love, and we're going to get into this in a minute, about the cheek, about the shirt, and about the golden rule. But this whole group, the Samaritans, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, they were loved by God, accepted, and supposed to be received into God's kingdom. I'll just jump somewhere in here. He would have agreed, this radical teaching, from this experience, one can easily imagine Jesus learned of the great love God had for himself and for others. He would have agreed with the Torah, the teachings of the Holy Scriptures, that that we all ought to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, that we ought to love our neighbor as ourselves. From this love experience, this final acceptance, Jesus could have learned the importance of doing acts of love. He taught that if someone hits you on your cheek, turn to them the other cheek. If someone sues you to take away your cloak, give them your shirt also. If someone presses you to walk with them a mile, walk with them too. Give to anyone who asks of you. As Jesus would talk about this love God had for people, amazing healings would start to take place. Stephen Davies, in his book, Jesus the Healer, says that in times of war and death, many diseases would result because of extreme stress. Diseases like blindness, muteness, deafness, skin diseases. Last spring, a woman who had fled the war in Syria was holding her what appeared to be a 7-year-old boy on her lap and said that since the war started, he could no longer talk. This is what Stephen Davies is writing about: war and death causing stress, and that stress causing diseases. There was plenty of war and death in Judea in those days. On average, a revolt took place against the Romans somewhere in Judea every 4 years. A town just 4 miles from Nazareth had revolted, and according to Josephus, the only historian who writes about these times, the Romans crucified 2,000 men to teach these people a lesson. The people were getting sick from stress, but some of them heard of the good news of the coming kingdom of God and God's forgiveness that with God's forgiveness, their sin would be washed away, and with their sin gone, they believed sickness would be gone also. Baptism leads to his vision, leads to the love message. And the love message, when you believe it, if you're under that stress, you guys could become faith healers yourself. Find that little boy. Find that 7-year-old boy who lost his ability to talk. Find him. Forgiveness is there. And with that comes healing. Jesus was credited with these healings. Jesus believed in the placebo effect. And that is, if one believes he will get better, then the odds of getting better are enhanced. Scientists today say that the placebo effect works in about 30% of the causes. In those ancient times, with so much war and death, there must have been quite a bit more stress and accompanying diseases that would be sensitive to the removal of that stress. Not everyone was healed, but enough were that this would have encouraged Jesus and his disciples to further believe that the kingdom of God was arriving, because in the kingdom of God, sickness and disease would be done away. It seemed to the disciples and to Jesus that it was happening right in front of their eyes. So Jesus started preaching like John the Baptist and telling people to repent because the kingdom of God was coming. He believed it. In order to send the message throughout Judea, he started an itinerant ministry going from village to village and town to town. He started getting followers that would go with him on these trips. His disciples were told that to follow him, they would need to give up family connections and responsibilities. So the placebo effect and forgiveness, the belief in forgiveness, leads to healing. The radical teachings of the kingdom of God was that you need to give up all to enter, and you need to sell all your possessions to enter the kingdom of God. And that's what Jesus believed, along with the disciples. His disciples were told that to follow him, they need to give up family connections and responsibilities. One person said, "Master, I want to follow you, but my father died. Let me go take care of the burial rituals and come back and follow you." Burial rituals could take up to a year. Jesus said, "No, let the dead bury the dead. You come and follow me now." Sometimes the rich wanted to join in the movement, and Jesus would say, "They're welcome, but first they must sell all their possessions." give to the poor, and then come and follow Jesus. Jesus said that it was very hard for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of God. It was easier for a camel to squeeze through the eye of a needle. This teaching of the kingdom of God was a threat to the Roman government. They believed in only one government, and that was their government, and killed all those who opposed them. Jesus must have believed that he was the promised Messiah that was to rule with God, for when the Romans killed him, they wrote the crime that Jesus committed on a sign and nailed it above his head on the cross. The sign said, King of the Jews. Though the kingdom never came, what did come was his radical teachings of love for your enemy, love for the most rejected of our society. That message lives on and challenges us even today. Thank you.